I tell you what a great thing to celebrate this morning as we gather together in the Lord's house. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We are so glad that you are here today. Give somebody a look and a friendly smile and a wave. Like I say, we won't pass any germs around by doing that, but that lets folks know, hey, we're glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here, and other people are glad you're here as well. So we want to welcome you today to Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Somebody asked me once before, they said, why do you always say of Oak Ridge, North Carolina? We know where we are. Well, there's a lot of people who watch us that don't know where we are, so we'll just tell them where we are. But at any rate, we're so glad to have you. We're so glad to have our online audience with us this morning as well. And you can give a wave. I know you got little emojis, and you computer savvy people like doing that. So give our own Dr. John Cazito, who is monitoring our online audience, give him a wave. But hey, how about everybody in the house give John a wave? We appreciate him. He sits back there so quietly, but our online audience has a connection here with our sanctuary as Dr. John watches along the way, can answer any questions that anybody may have. But we're so glad that you're here today as we gather around the Lord's Word, as we worship Him today in every aspect of what we do, in our worship through song, in our worship through exercising talents and abilities, the choir, the ensemble, as we worship Him by returning to Him, the tithe and offering. That is an act of worship, not just something that we do. So we're so tickled that we have that opportunity to be able to come together and do it. I think of people all over this world today who don't have that opportunity, and how blessed we are to be able to gather in the name of our Lord and be able to freely worship Him. We're so thankful for that. We want to remember all those in prayer that are deployed, that are giving us the opportunity to have freedom and to be able to be here and lift up our voices to our Lord and Savior. What a great, great opportunity. So as we begin, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we're just asking that you would show up in our hearts, in our lives, and show up in this place in a very, very prominent way. Lord, I pray that for these moments that you would help us to just take that deep breath and just enjoy the solitude and the spirit that is in this place right now. Lord, I pray that you will help us to truly have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us today on that individual basis, Lord, as well as that corporate basis. So right now, Father, we just pray that you would do something incredible, because you're still in the incredible business. And Lord, may each and everything that we do honor and magnify you. We ask that you would help us to lift you up, that you truly might draw all people unto you this very day. And so we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. While you're turning to hymn number 62, let me say a special thanks to Jim and the band for all the work they do. They played yesterday at the Heritage Festival or Heritage Day at the park, and that was great. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Tim. Got the picture up. That's great. So they had a great time. So we appreciate them. Please stand with me as we sing 62, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Choir, please turn to 484 Higher Ground.
Higher ground, particularly when the flood waters roll. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6. It's always interesting that particularly there's a this thing theologically that seems to be going around today where there are some who say that the Old Testament is no longer relevant. I disagree, and for some odd reason, every time when I hear somebody say something like that, it just makes me want to go preach something from the Old Testament. I don't know why. Maybe it's spite. I don't know what the circumstance is. But today, I want to prove to you that the Old Testament is relevant, particularly in our everyday lives, in our functional lives as we go forward. Now, I want you to think about some times where maybe you have gone to the Lord and you have sought Him in prayer. And in the midst of that prayer, you have asked God to do something. And you've done that because you know that the thing that you are asking God to do is a big thing. It is so big that it's as far as earthly, it's impossible. You need God to intervene. Have you ever been there before? You've done something. Yeah, I mean, whether it's interceding for somebody in prayer. Maybe it was a bad diagnosis. Maybe it was just something that you knew there was no earthly way that with man's power it was going to happen, and you have sought God. Then you got surprised by the answer. Now, I'm not saying surprised in a way when you're like, oh, well, that's not what I was thinking, because that's one as well. But you got surprised because the Lord said, I hear you, I understand you, when do you get started? And we sit back and go, well, you know, wait, what? Well, what do you mean, when do I get started? This is not something that could be done under earthly power. This is something that you have to do, God. And he goes, yeah, I know. When do you get started? When are you going to allow me to use you to give myself some honor and some glory? And you know what we tend to do? We tend to go, oh, no, man, you got the wrong guy. Remember Moses? Remember when Moses cried out on behalf of Israel? And remember what took place? God said, great, when you're getting started, here's what you need to do. Moses was like, oh, no, you got the wrong guy. Not me. I don't speak very well. I'm not a good public speaker. Have you ever noticed we come up with 1,000 reasons why we can't do what God is asking us to do? All the while knowing that what he's asking us to do is going to take divine intervention for it to happen anyway. See, we start relying on ourselves because that's normally what we do. So we're getting over in the book of Judges. Gideon was another one of those guys. He didn't like the circumstance that was taking place. He did not like where Israel was. He saw what was taking place, and a lot of us are familiar with that story, but I want to look at a couple of verses out of Judges chapter 6. So our text today, actually, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I want to carry you down to Judges chapter 6, beginning with verse 36. Judges chapter 6, beginning with verse 36. It says, "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.' And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me. Let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry on the fleece, but all the ground let there be dew.' And God did so that night. It was that on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're asking that you would speak to our hearts in an incredible way. Lord, I pray that in all that is said and done, that you would be magnified today. I pray that you will help us to see that you still use people to accomplish your will. But Lord, in doing so, it is going to be done in such a manner, in such a fashion that only you will get the honor, the credit, the glory, and the praise for it. Father, help us to be willing vessels in your hand in the great things that you want to accomplish. And Lord, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all of us have been in this particular area. We know the story of Gideon, don't we? You know, we know what was taking place with him. We know how God came and how God spoke to him. And it's ironic that at this point, and I'm going to point this out to you because I'm going to backtrack some in this particular text today, because this is Gideon. This is a point where Gideon is testing God. But this is not where the conversation took place. This is not the first action that Gideon had done in response to what God had said to him. Okay? He's getting down to this particular point where he is still having doubt about what is taking place and what God is wanting to do. And you and I do the same thing that Gideon has done. And I'm going to call him Joe Christian today. Joe Christian is basically you and me. But I can't think of something better to call him, so we're going to call us Joe Christian today, each and every one of us. And you think about Joe Christian. He's got maybe a difficult choice before him. He's got some things that are on his mind. And before he decides what to do, he asks God to give him a sign. All right, are you Joe Christian today? "Lord, if this is the girl of my dreams, give me a sign. Lord, if this is the house you want me to buy, give me a sign." And then sometimes what we do is we even get more specific. "Lord, if that car dealer calls me back before the day is over with, then I'm going to know that you want me to buy this car." Now, the reason why we're all laughing is because we've all done that. We've all been there. Obviously, we want God to speak to us. We honestly and genuinely want to do what God's will is. We have prayed those prayers. "Lord, I'm a little dense in the noggin, and I desperately want to follow you. But if you just show me in a way that I know, Like some guy walks past walking his dog over on Burke Street. Then I'll know that was from you. We've all done it. And that's why it's so hilarious. Lord, if you really want me to buy this car, let that salesman call me before the night's over with. And it'll really solidify it if my price that I have on this paper is what he calls back with. Then I'll know, Lord, that it's from you. And all of us have done that. Lord, if you really want me to marry this person, have her call me before lunchtime. Lord, if you really want me to marry this guy, have him send me an email before my afternoon break. And what we start doing is we start putting these timelines on God. You know, we're kind of poking the bear. If you really want me to change jobs, then I need to have three different people from that company email me before the day's over with. We do these things. For whatever reason, we view this as a good way to make decisions because we claim, well, Gideon did it in the Bible. Yeah. Now, you need to be careful here. I literally had somebody tell me one time when we were talking about something, and somebody got on to him in the crowd. It wasn't me, but I was listening to it, and I was almost laughing because they were talking about casting lots. And they said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. They cast lots in the Bible, and that was okay. And the guy said, well, where are you talking about there? They said, well, when Jonah was on that boat, they cast lots to see who the problem was, and that worked out good for them. So it must work out good for me today. I want to caution you today if you are making decisions on the Gideon method, okay? And I hope and pray that by the time we get done evaluating Gideon's fleece, that you will have a better understanding. And here's why. We naturally run to do that because what we want to do is we want to put the responsibility on God. Now, let me go ahead and say this. It's okay to put the responsibility on God. The problem is God has, in most cases, already given us the answer. And we just don't like that. Here's the way it looks in our society. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and do A, B, and C. And what we do is we go, now let me get this straight. You want me to go do A, B, and C? Yes, that's correct. Well, you know, I don't know if I'll ever even get to B because A is so late. We start to argue and we start to sit back and come up with all of the reasons why we cannot do what it is that's before us. We make excuses. We do that spiritually as well. Now, remember, here's what we have to remember to start off with. What we're praying about in and of ourselves, we can't do anyway. It is going to take the divine intervention of the Almighty God. So when God says, I want you to do A, B, and C, man, there's been times in my life when I've gone, okay. And man, I'm really transparent with God. Okay, God, listen. You know I can't do A, B, and C. But you've asked me to do it, so here we go. And you know, every single time in my life that I've done that, you know what's happened? Before long, I looked over my shoulder and A, B, and C were done, but they were not done by Roy's will or by Roy's hand. They were done by God's will through Roy, giving him the power to do it and making things happen that needed to happen along the way. And then you sit back and go, man, look at God. Look at what God did. Now, let me fast forward a little bit because we also know about Gideon and the 300-man army. You know, when he was going to battle and God cut his army down to 300 men, those were impossible odds. I don't think I would have wanted to have been one of the ones to ride into battle with him, at least when they were discussing it. Would you? I'd be like, oh man, this is a suicide mission. Make sure my last will and testament's up to date. 300 of us against those insurmountable odds. But remember what it was that God told Gideon. He said, the reason that I told you to let those that were afraid go home, the reason I told you to watch how those that were left drank, was because I want to make sure that I get the credit for it, that I get the glory for it. Because right now, this is an impossible mission. Your 300 men cannot win this battle without divine intervention. Now, some of you today in your life are praying for some things that, aside from the divine intervention from God Almighty, it's not going to happen. Now, which one of those is driving you? God can, is that what's driving you? Or I can't because, is that what's driving you? One of those two things is driving who you are. You're either going to trust God to make it happen because he's led you down that road, or you're not. Now, I also have to say, you got to be very careful that the road that you're on is the one that God is leading you down. You need to be very careful of that. Because Satan's a good liar. You called him a liar. Yep, I did. So the Bible calls him a liar, so I guess I have permission. He is the father of all lies. He makes things look good. He takes all these things and he plates them with gold. And we sometimes choose the gold plating over what God's given us that's solid and pure. Sometimes it doesn't look as good. We look at Gideon's fleece. There's a couple of facts that we need to learn and know and understand today, particularly if we're using Gideon's method in solving our issues. Yeah, let me just start off to begin with. I don't think that Gideon's method is a great way to do things today in making decisions in your life. I really don't. Some people, well, it was biblical. Well, I don't think that's a good way, you know. All right, there's interesting situations. Now, here's why I say it's interesting. Remember I said I'm going to backtrack in our scriptures for just a minute. We read the scripture about where Gideon is saying, okay, Lord, if you're going to use me, and this is what you want, I need you to give me a sign. And he put the little fleece rug out there, and he said, Lord, if you'll do this, then I know it's you. Well, God entertained him and said, okay. He said he got up that next morning and that little fleece rug was just full of water and all the ground around it was dry. It says, in fact, Gideon took the fleece and he wrung it out. That's a country word, isn't it? Wrung it out. He wrung it out. It says a bowl full of water and yet the ground was dry, no dew on the ground. Now you would think that at least even at that point, God, you know, he would have gotten the picture. Did he? Nope. He's a knucklehead, kind of like Joe Christian, which means kind of like you and me. Now, Lord, I know that you did, and that's kind of what we do know. I know that you answered that prayer, and I know that you did something miraculous, but conjunction, but bringing. I've just got to know it's your will. How many of y'all have ever prayed that? Lord, I see the signs, but I got to know it's you. So, here's what we want to do this time. This time, I'm going to put the same fleece out, Lord. I'm not going to change it up. I'm going to put the same fleece out there, except the only difference is, this time, when I get up in the morning, I want that fleece to be just as bone dry as possible. By the way, he tested God even further because the fleece was already wet. He didn't go throw it in the dryer and say, let me give you a chance here, God. It was already wet. I mean, I figured it was going to take some time to dry out anyway. He says, I'm going to put the fleece out. And in the morning, how about you make the fleece dry and the ground wet with dew? I'm sure God's going, what is the matter with you? Did God get upset? No. What did he do? Gideon got up the next morning and it was just as he had asked God to do. The ground was wet with dew and the fleece was dry. He kept on asking and he kept on asking. Now, let me tell you why I believe this is dangerous, because I think we're overlooking something in our lives. And I think that Gideon was overlooking something very important with his life as well. I want you to back up in our scripture text today to the passages of Gideon, or excuse me, Gideon. Turn to the book of Gideon, and if some of y'all find it, let me know. Judges chapter 6, same chapter that we're in. Down there at the end, we see where Gideon is asking God to make the fleece wet or dry or whatever the point was in the story. So go back up to verse, remember, 12 comes all before this, and this is when God actually went to Gideon and talks to him. So look with me, Judges chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" To Gideon, verse 13, said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Boy, there's a complaint going on there, isn't it? "Where are you, Lord?" Ever been there in your prayers? I'm asking you, where are you, God? You're sitting there and you're saying that you're with me. Where are you? I'm hiding, threshing wheat. We don't have nothing to eat. We're starving to death. Where's all this blessing stuff that we heard from our forefathers? Where's all the good stuff that comes along with following you, Lord? Have you been there? Why are things like they are? So Gideon is actually complaining a little bit. Now, none of us would ever do that, would we? We don't complain at all, not even to God. Gideon is sitting there going, "Where is God? What's he doing?" You've been there, Joe Christian. You've been that way in your life. Where are you? You know, I've been praying. I've been doing my Bible study. It seems like the closer I try to walk with you, the more stuff happens in my life, and it ain't good stuff. We've all prayed that. Matter of fact, look at the end of verse 13 again. He said this, "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." We don't have to think about where his mind was. He said, "The Lord has forsaken us," and some of us feel that way amidst our prayers right now. You said, "I've been praying, I've been watching, I've been asking, and the Lord has forsaken me." You may not have said that out loud, because if you say it out loud, you have to own it. But you've said that to yourself. You've said that to the Holy Spirit. Where are you when I need you most? Why won't you tell me? Verse 14 says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" Wait, what? Oh, no. I'm just here to complain. You got the wrong guy when you're talking about somebody to deliver. I'm not the person. No. I'm better off, you know, shirtless, shouting obscenities from the crowd than getting in the game. That's where I am. Now, notice what he followed up with. The Lord says to him, "You're the man." Here's how Gideon answers verse 15. "So he said to them, 'Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.'" See, here we go with the excuses. No, you got the wrong guy, Lord. I'm not your man. And let me tell you why I'm not your man. Notice what he said. He said, "My clan is the weakest." In other words, God picked out the runt of the bunch. If y'all been around, you country people like me, you've been around puppies, there's usually a runt, yeah? It's the one that's little, the one that struggles and everything. Gideon is saying, my clan's not the biggest one. I'm not the leadership type, man. You have gotten the wrong person. Does any of this sound familiar to you guys? Maybe at some point in your past, you've walked this trail. Maybe you're walking that trail right now because you're looking at the impossibility of what lies on the horizon. And you sit back and say, there's no way I can do this. And here's the interesting part. You are absolutely right. There is no way you can do it. In and of yourself, you cannot do it. It is an impossible task when you're looking earthly and horizontally. But it's not an impossible task when you are looking vertically and trusting God, because He's already got the plan. And He didn't make a mistake when He called you to be the person to make it happen. He's given an excuse. He said, not only is my clan the weakest, I am the weakest in there. Verse 16 says, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Oh, no, pick someone else, man. Man, the Midianites have us captive. So you are calling on the runt of the bunch from the strays, and you're saying, come on, God. Come on. Surely you've got this wrong. Surely this is so impossible. I'm not even hearing this right, because there's no way. And then you struggle. Did I hear that right? Was he talking about me? So what does Gideon do? Gideon heard him all right. Gideon heard what was taking place. Gideon heard, you're the man. That's my translation to that. Your people are going to be saved, Gideon. You're the man. What? Then he said to him in verse 17, this is what Gideon responded. He said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talked with me. Now remember, we backpedaled. We talked about his sign with the fleece. That's later on in the chapter. That's after this. This is the initial meeting we're talking about right now. What does Gideon want? He wants a... I didn't hear you. He wants a... Give me a sign. Now, notice what he got. Look, I'm not making this up. Verse 17 says, then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talked with me. Isn't that what we do? Lord, I'm looking for that email. Lord, I'm looking for that telephone call. Lord, give me a sign that I'm interpreting this right. He says in verse 18, he goes on, do not depart from here, I pray you, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Gideon's got a plan. I got an idea to prove that this is real. Don't go away. Stay right here. If I found favor, stay right here for a minute. I'll be right back. So what does he do? Verse 19 says, so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, an unleavened bread from an ephod of flour, the meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. So what he's doing is he's going out and he's going to make a sacrifice, and he's going to bring it, you know, to the Lord. And by the way, when you look at Lord, if you'll notice, him is capitalized. It talks about the angel of the Lord. We're talking about the Lord appearing to him. Now, here is another thing that I want you to understand about Gideon. God is talking to him like I'm talking to you right now, audibly. I'm going to ask you to tell on yourself this morning. How many of you at some point in your spiritual walk have been in that prayer closet, that patch of woods or whatever, and you said, Lord, you know my heart, and you know I want to do your will. Could you just talk to me? I mean, I really want to kind of hear your voice. You know, if I hear it audibly, nobody's around. Nobody would know. It's just me and you. Why don't you just tell me straight? How many of y'all have ever prayed that before? Lord, if I could hear your voice, I would know. By the way, nobody's listening. It's just me and you. If you just tell me. There's so much at stake. This is important. God, I don't want to do the wrong thing. I desperately want to hear from you. Here's the problem, and I'm going to go ahead and summarize this, and I want you to think about it as we continue with our text. The problem is God has already given us the answer, just like he's given Gideon. He has already spoken to us, just like he did Gideon. He's already given us clarity in what he wants, just like he did Gideon. The problem is we have a hard time with our faith and trusting him. Verse 20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And so he did. Then verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Would you consider that miraculous? Would you consider that being something that says, I've proven to you who I am. I have shown you what is taking place. You would have thought at that point that Gideon would have said, Lord, have mercy. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to follow what the Lord told me to do. And then what happens is we will partially obey. Gideon kind of freaked out a little bit. If you look at verse 22, it says, now Gideon perceived that he, capital H, was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He thought he was going to die. He knows who spoke to him. He knows what he's been told to do. Verse 23, then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord. Now, it's interesting what happens in the verses that follow, because one of the first things he asked him to do was he said, I need you to go and tear down all these statues to Baal. Baal was who they worshipped predominantly in that land. They had idols and everything else. So Gideon gets some men. He goes out at night, and what does he do? I like to call this partial obedience. I mean, he did what God told him to do by tearing down the altars of Baal, and he built an altar to the Lord. And what do you think happened the next morning when everybody got up? You think they were upset? You think those that worshipped Baal were upset that their altars had been torn down? Do you think that they felt like this was an uprising against Baal? Do you think Gideon was outnumbered? The answer to that question is absolutely. Do you think Gideon was going to stand up there and open his jacket with a big Superman thing and said, it was I who destroyed all your stuff? He was probably quaking in his boots. By the way, it also says that they went to the prophet, and they knew who it was. They knew it was Gideon who had done this, and they wanted to kill him. All because he followed the Lord. How many times have we been following the Lord and the terrain got rough? How many times have we been following the Lord, and all of a sudden what happened is everybody wants to kill you? What happens when all of a sudden everybody rises up against us, and what we do is we go to God and say, Lord, why is this happening to me? I am doing what you have told me to do. You know what God's answer is? I know, but I got you. I've got you. And if I am for you, who can be against you? And you know what we say? That umpteen thousand people coming at me with swords and spears and trying to take me out, they will. God's wanting to do some miraculous things in our lives, through our lives, and around us to get to the point where he gets honored, not you, him. I love what God told Gideon. He said, the reason why I've cut your army down to 300 men, he said, here's the reason. He said, because if you go forward like you are, then people would just think that you're a good commander. People would just think that you had a good battle plan and they would honor you. But when you go into battle with the impossible odds of 300 to however many, all they'll sit back and say is, this had to have been a sign. This had to have been a God thing, plain and simple. Because there's no way that Gideon and 300 men could have been victorious in this army. And they were absolutely right. But God showed up. Yeah, the funny part about it is when God shows up, sometimes you don't even have to lift a finger. Remember Jericho? Oh, Lord's got it. God can blind people. He can make their aim off. God, when God wants something done, but when that battle was over with, do you think people said, boy, I tell you, Gideon, boy, he's got some good, highly trained people. You think that's what they said? No. You know what they said? Them crazy people. They went into battle with just 300 of them, and all 300 of them came back? That had to be a miracle. It had to be a God thing. And you know what God says? It was. That is who I am. That is what I want to do for you. So God has called you, and you sitting back saying, oh, I'm the least of my tribe. I'm the runt. God says, well, you're the runt's the one I want. That's exactly what I want. Now, here's what I say about Gideon. I'm going to try to put a bow on this thing, because, man, you could do a whole series on this stuff. You know what, Gideon, I would have been frustrated with Gideon. I get frustrated with Gideon reading this. I mean, as hard-headed as I am, even I get frustrated with him. You know what the problem was? Do you think that Gideon should have gotten the point and got the point at this particular part of the passage, the early part of the passage? When God said, here's what I want you to do. When God showed up in a miraculous way and even let Gideon say, hey, if it was you I really talked to, here's a sacrifice that I'm bringing to you. And when he took the angel took the staff and went poof and fire came out of a rock. Wouldn't you think at that particular point he would go, ooh, wow, that's not normal. But yet later on, we see him doing it again. Lord, let me put a blanket out. If it's wet, if it's dry. How many of us are Gideons? How many of us Joe Christians are Gideoning up our lives? Lord, give me a sign. Lord, help me out. Yeah, and I've shared this before, but it's like that old joke. Lord, the flood waters are coming up. Need you to save me. Boat comes by, and the guy says, nope, I prayed to God that God would save me. He goes, all flood waters come up higher. Now he's on the second story of the house. A boat comes by and says, come on, get in. The guy's like, nope, I prayed that the Lord would save me. Flood waters keep coming up, and he's standing on top of the chimney, and a helicopter comes by, and they drop a ladder down. He says, no, I prayed to God that God was going to save me. The helicopter flies off. Man dies, and he gets a chance to see the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm a little disappointed. He said, I was praying that you would save me. Why didn't you? And God said, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more did you want? We need to start looking around. God is in the midst of our circumstances and our situations, and he is providing ways for each and every one of us, and he is wanting to do it to where he gets the credit and where he gets the glory, not you. He's wanting to do it in such a fashion that there's no earthly way possible. You've done that before. You've looked at somebody and said, I will tell you one thing. That Joe Christian over there ain't no way he came up with that plan. He ain't got the sense God gave him to get out of the rain, but look at what happened. Well, that's because he had a good faith. He listened to what it was that God told him, and he moved toward action. Gideon got drugged along the way. I like to say he was one of them Christians that was drugged. He was drug into servant. He was drug, and every time, oh, Lord, are you sure this? Are you sure? We try to do that and dress it up like we're spiritual. Well, God, I know you don't want me. God's like, well, you know what? I didn't choose you second. I'm asking you because I want to use you, not because there was not another suitable candidate. Oh, but Lord, I don't do well in front of people. God's like, I know. Well, Lord, I don't have a big, I know. God's like, I know all this. I created you. I know you stutter, Moses. I created you. I know that you are running from Pharaoh. And yet we sit back and go, well, then why are you trying to send me back there? Because he's going to try to kill me. And God said, because I'm going to protect you. I'm going to look after you. Gideon, I want to use you to show up really big for Israel. And I ain't using nobody but you. Are you with me? Seemed like Gideon had to be drug along even when he should have known. I think for me, that's the biggest frustration fact. A lot of us, I would hope, would be to the point where if God showed up in a miraculous way like he did with Gideon here early, we'd have been like, whoa. And Gideon was. I mean, he was shocked. He was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to die now because I've seen the Lord. The Lord said, don't be afraid. It's all right. I got me and you, we're going to do this. But he wasn't afraid enough not to tempt him again later on with that rug. Have you ever had somebody do that to you and you're like, okay, look, here's what we need to do. I need you to handle this particular thing and this particular thing. Somebody goes, are you sure you want me to handle this part of it? Yeah, that's, well, I'm not good with numbers. I know that. Are you positive that I'm the person? Yeah, you're the one. I don't know, man. I'll tell you, you ought to get Jameson over there. He's a better numbers guy than me, man. I'm going to tell you one thing. They're going to laugh when they see that I'm in this position. They're going to laugh. The Lord's like, no, you're it. You see, so many of us are arguing with God about our inadequacies instead of saying, okay, here we go. Now, in the midst of that, that's a very scary thing. As you go past this particular passage of Judges chapter 6, you'll see that when it came time, and most of us know this story, that God evaluated Gideon's army and he said, too many of them. Wait, what? Too many of them? Lord, I thought that the idea when you're going into battle was that superior numbers helped you out. And God's like, yeah, you're right. That's true, but too many of you. And I love what he told him. He didn't leave him hanging. He said, the reason why we need to cut this army down is so that you don't get the credit for the victory, and I do. And he said, very simply, he said, go ask them how many of them are scared. All y'all that are scared, raise your hand. Well, you know, my whole thing is a little bit of fear in combat's a good thing. It can help keep you alive. Too much of it will get you killed. And all those that raised their hand and said, yeah, I'm afraid, Gideon said, y'all just go on home. Y'all just, it's all right. It's cool. Not a problem. No harm, no foul. Y'all just go ahead and go. And all of a sudden, this drove of his army left. And I could imagine Gideon going, this don't look good. And then God says, you still got too many. Still too many of them. Gideon's going, what? Yeah. I want you to take them down to the water. And I want you to watch how they drink. He said, now some of them will just, they'll just slam their face down into the water. He said, yeah, but some of them will take their hand and they'll get them a handful of water and they will drink like this. He said, I want you to keep them guys. Now, it doesn't explain this in the scripture, but have you ever thought about it? Part of the reason he did that was those are the guys that were the most alert. Those were the guys that were aware of their surroundings, and they wanted to make sure they weren't snuck up on. So, you know, the ones with their face in the water, you can go club them in the head, and they won't even know what hit them. But it's going to be hard to sneak up on a guy who's still looking around. Gideon told those, y'all that stuck your face in the water, have a nice trip home. 300 people. Do you realize that that's almost the seating capacity of our sanctuary? Imagine what Gideon thought then. Oh, Lord, you're going to have to help us. And you know what God wants to hear? Exactly that. Not only, Lord, you're going to have to help us, it's going to be, no, you're working for me, and I'm going to take care of this. So Gideon's 300 men rode into battle and came back victorious. There are a lot of lessons to be learned from Gideon and his fleece. And the question that I have for us today is simply this. Are we listening to what it is that God's got going on? And by the way, Gideon didn't sit back and summons the Lord. Gideon was going about his everyday thing, at least at that point. You know, he was hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat. He was upset because he felt like God had forsaken them. Maybe that's you today. It's like, Lord, this is not the way it's supposed to be for your children. And why were they where they were? Because they'd been disobedient. They were in a land that there was false worship. Sounds like today. They were in a place that worshiped Baal. And God said to one man, he said, I want you to go in there and I want you to tear down all their altars. Lord, that's going to make them mad. Yep, sure is. Lord, they're going to try to kill me. Maybe. Does that mean I'm just going to die? Nope. You ain't going to die till I'm done with you. But I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to make it through you. Because they would not expect the runt of the litter, the non-significant litter, to be the one that would lead them. They would completely disregard you. And yet, I'm going to show up big, because I'm a big God. I'm asking us today, are we frustrating God? Have we stalled what he wants done in our lives because we have sized him down into the four walls of a church or into the four walls of our house? See, God's much bigger than that. And we conveniently size him down. Lord, I don't know, Lord. Hey, listen, last time I checked, God can make people just burst into flame. But that's going to happen in the future. You know that, don't you? If you've read about the end time stuff during the tribulation, yeah, they're going to come up against that 144,000 and they're just going to burst into flame. Somebody's going to come after them and they're just going to stare at them and poof, that's it. Spontaneous combustion. That's the kind of God we serve. He's still powerful. He's still on the throne. He still wants to do some things that are going to get him glory. And here's the cool part. He still wants to use you and me. Are we too busy fiddling around, putting rugs out by the door, asking for emails, asking for phone calls? Lord, give me a sign. Well, even in Gideon's case, God had already given him a sign. He already took the sacrifice that he made for him. And it did it in a miraculous way. Poof, it's gone. God's done some miraculous things in your life and in my life. And when he shows up and when you hear his voice, all he's asking you is to say, yes, Lord. We sing an old hymn that I love. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. He's still calling people out. Are you that person? Yep, you are the least qualified candidate. You're right. There's no sense in the fact that God called you. You're right. There's no way that you can do anything on your own. You're right. That's when God gets the credit and that's when God gets the glory. God's looking at you saying, how about you ride with me one more time? How about let's walk down the road of faith? Let's walk down the road of confidence. And may this be the faith builder that you and I need so that the next time God says, hey, I got a project for you, we say, all right, where you want me to go? What you want me to do? And we just immediately head in that direction. It will not happen, first of all, if you are not one of his children. That is the key, most paramount thing. It is the most important decision that you will ever make in this life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ. Brad, you guys, musicians, if you will take your place, we're going to have our invitation in just a minute. But today, this is the time to get very serious with a question. And the question is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I'm not asking you to check a card. I'm not asking you to follow. I'm asking you to seek your heart right now while the Holy Spirit is on it. And I'm asking you if you've trusted Jesus, if you've begun that relationship with him. Yes, I literally have people ask me this. They say, you give an invitation at your church? Yeah. Why not? I mean, you know what? If we're talking about Jesus and we want people to know him, it's not about you having to find it on your own. To me, I said, it's kind of stupid not to give an invitation. I just wasted an hour of my life if I don't. What does that mean? It's not my invitation. It's God's invitation. He is knocking at your heart's door, and he is saying, whoever will open the door and let me in, I will come in and sup with him. He's saying salvation's not about you being a good person. If I hear that one more time, I want to throw up. Well, I'm a good person. God won't send me to hell. I said, A, God don't send anybody to hell. You choose it. And B, you got the wrong plan to get there. Because being good don't get you there. I've said this over and over again. Hell gonna be full of church people too, who had the wrong concept of what salvation was about. So I'm asking you today, through the Holy Spirit, check yourself. Are you one of his children? If you cannot go away from here 100% positive of that, then you need to do some business with the Lord. Because he didn't say, well, you might be saved. No, he said, whoever trusts in him will, shall be saved. I done got my tickets. I ain't got my reservation. There's a set of plans, I ain't seen them yet, that God's got for my mansion in glory. We're going to kind of be kind of like, move that bus. You know, when I get there, it's going to be, this is my place. Have you got a reservation? Well, preacher, how do I do that? Genuinely within your heart, if today you realize you are a sinner, and that without Jesus, you're going to spend an eternity in hell, then you can simply pray to him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that if I drew my last breath today, I would be in hell. Lord, forgive my sins and save my soul. And if you mean that, the Lord, he said, that's the prayer that he hears from a sinner, a lost sinner. That's the only prayer he hears from a lost sinner. Lord, be merciful. Forgive me and save me. Listen, if you've done that, you've joined the family. And we want to help you, man. Hey, we want as many people to go. I like big old reunions, don't you? You know, I thought about it even this past week. I'm going to see JC again. I'm going to see my grandma again. I'm going to see Gabe. I'm going to see all these people who I know and love, who are waiting on the other side for us to get there for all of eternity. And most of all, I'm going to see my Jesus who died on that cross that I might have eternal life. I know where I'm going, but I will make you this promise. If you don't know that for sure and you draw your last breath today, your eternity has already been etched in stone. You will suffer in hell, the place that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever, and there will be no other chance. You willing to risk that? Not me. You give your heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will do the rest of it. Well, you don't know what I've done. Don't care what you've done, neither does Jesus. He wants you now. It's about what you do as you go forward. Look at what Paul did. Man, he was rounding up Christians. He was having people put to death. Then the road to Damascus changed his life, and he became a preacher. I've said before, I don't know if I'd have wanted to have been in his first revival meeting. I'd have been like, I think this is a trick. You go first. I'll watch from afar. But nah, he became what God wanted him to be, despite the odds. Have you trusted Jesus? If you ask him to come into your heart, listen, I'm going to be here. I'll be praying for you. Maybe you're here today, and you have been that person that has been, hey, wait. God's like, okay, we're going on three. One, two. And you're like, oh, well, hold on. I forgot my body armor. All right, Lord, I'm ready to go. But let me count, God. One, two, two and a quarter, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and five. Stop it. Just stop it. Because he is going to take care of you. I promise you that. How can I promise you that? Because he promised us that in his word. It's going to be scary. I'm not saying it's not going to be scary. Woo-wee. As a matter of fact, you'll be going, wow, look at what's going on here. And yet, God will bring you through unscathed, not for your glory, but for his. Maybe you just need Christian to spend a little time at the altar and let God become big again in your life. He's already told you what he wants you to do. Stop fiddling around and get on with it. Stop asking for signs and emails and phone calls from God. Cracked me up. One person one day said, I called them and it scared them because they were praying that God would give them a sign. And when I called them, my phone number used to be like a business number. It says Alpha and Omega Home Inspections, but that gets cut off on the caller ID. So guess what they saw on the caller ID? Alpha and Omega. God, give me a sign. The phone's ringing. The caller ID says Alpha and Omega. It'd probably scare me too. Are you trusting God for whatever? Are you ready to get on the journey with him? Today is the day to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. What decisions do you need to make? I'm here if you need me. The altar's here if you need it. As we stand and sing, we're going to sing our invitation hymn number 281. Speak to my heart, and I promise you the Lord is. Will you surrender to him? Brother Brad. Are bowed as your eyes are closed. As you do business with God personally, he is speaking to you. He has said something to you today. What will you do with what the Master has given you today? Will you walk away from here encouraged? I pray so. Will you walk away from here right with him? I pray that as well. But anyway, whatever it may be, make sure that you get it nailed down before you leave this building today. I'm going to ask as our musicians continue to play that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, it truly is good to be in your presence. I pray, Father, that as you've spoken to our hearts today, that you have given us the courage to step out and trust you, particularly when it makes no sense at all. But Lord, we pray that you will help us to see what you want from us and to have the faith and to trust you in every aspect of what we do. And then, Lord, when you show up in a big way, help that to be a marker in our lives that we will look back over to draw strength from as we go forward. Now, Lord, we come to that time where we continue to worship you by returning to you that small portion that you've asked us to return, that you might continue to bless not only us individually, Lord, but your house and your church and the ministries thereof. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to truly be faithful to return that tithe and give that offering to you. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How Jim directed them, because I probably couldn't have kept the count that way, because I had this just tendency to go. Now, how many of y'all got that? Okay. Remember, there's hand motions to that when we were growing up. Remember that song? This is deep and wide. That was what they were playing. Jim was up there doing this, I'd have been going. That's the difference between a real musician and somebody who just tries to be there. Thank you, guys. I loved it. That was great. Just a couple things before we get you out of here. Birthdays that we've got coming up this week. Grace Willard, her birthday is today. Tuesday, Jimmy and Debbie's oldest grandson, Jamie's oldest boy, Brantley Myrick, has a birthday coming up on Tuesday. This Wednesday, my boy Blake, and as well as Ann Brooks, will be having birthdays on Wednesday. And on Saturday, Travis Anderson will be having a birthday coming up. Getting a little bit older, man. Another turn around the sun. And also, we have one anniversary. That's Ginger and Philip Kiever. If you see any of these folks, be sure to give them a hug, maybe shoot them a text, send them an email, send them a gift. Now, for you older people that didn't understand what I didn't say gift. I said a gif. But the younger folks know what I'm talking about. So, at any rate, be sure to let folks know you love them, that you're going to be praying for them. We're thankful to God that they're in our lives. Just a couple things that we've got going on for today. My D-Life group will meet in the conference room at 3:30 today. Awana tonight at 5:30. Choir practice, 4:45, right here in the sanctuary. We're not having Bible study tonight. Nope. David has got a place that he has to be tonight, so there will not be adult Bible study in here in the sanctuary tonight. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't help with Awana. Come on over. We'll put you to work. You can see Jana or Jimmy, and they will put you in a spot and listen to these little ones say their memory verses and have a ton of fun. So we would love to have you. Don't sit back and go, well, Pastor David's not going to be there. I get to play tonight. Come on now. Be sure to come on, help out in another facet. Are y'all going to have no band? I thought because y'all played yesterday, so the band's going to take a little bit of a break. They played yesterday as well as today, so no band practice tonight. Monday, we will have the CBC Classic Gospel Singers practice, right, Leonard? This coming Monday at 3 o'clock p.m. In the Family Life Center choir room. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m., there's a men's meeting over at the Olympic, and we do some of our favorite things. We eat and we talk. There's no real agenda. Nobody's got stop on by over at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax, 10 o'clock a.m. every Wednesday morning. Then Sunday, September the 24th, after our service, what's that? That's old, okay? I was getting ready to say, we're past that. It scared me for a minute. But the beach trip's still coming up, October the 5th, right? Thursday. So you have any spaces or y'all have nailed it down? Yep. If you missed out, you missed out. You're just going to have to wait till next year when they go again. But be praying for them. They're going to have a tremendous Bible study. Mari actually has written the Bible study that the ladies will do. And I'll give you a preview. So far, phenomenal. I really appreciate your work, your heart, and we'll talk more about that later. So at any rate, those are the things going on. There's also, Tim sent me a message. I make sure Tuesday evening, there is a board meeting at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Tuesday in the conference room. Kelly, is that where? Conference room. Board meeting Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 6 o'clock p.m. in the conference room of the FLC. Is there anything I've forgotten? Yeah, I mentioned that, y'all.
D-Life tomorrow night with Steve Kelly.
Oh, Steve's group. Steve has a D-Life group. We're going to have to figure out delineators. Steve is beginning a men's discipleship group. They will have their first meeting to kick things off tomorrow night at 6:30 in the conference room. So if you are part of that, be sure to be there tomorrow, 6:30, conference room. You're going to really enjoy this. If you don't know what that's about, or you do know what it's about, and you want to be a part of a small group Bible study, let one of us know. Let me know. Let Steve know. He's doing one. Talk to some of our guys. Kirk is in my group. Jeff Pickard is in our group. Steve is in my group. He's doing two of them. He's in a group and he's leading a group. So he's just dedicated. But at any rate, this is going to be something that's going to be great for us to be able to learn, a way that we can learn from one another. And our discipleship groups, there's no real set precedent for that, folks. They can meet any time during the week. They can meet on Sunday. They can meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Any time or place a small group discipleship gathering can take place. So we're looking to get some more groups started. We're also looking to have folks involved in hosting that. And once you see, you're going to understand that everybody learns together. You have a kind of facilitator that says this is the day we meet and the time we meet, but other than that, everybody participates, and you go, oh, I can't participate. Don't let the devil tell you that. There's even a list of questions. All you got to do is read them to get the discussion started. It can't get any easier than that. Man, we're looking forward to what God's going to have in store for that along the way. Brother David, come up and see us off in a word of prayer, and like I say, I love you guys. Let's follow the Lord into his charge.
to worship you through song, through the preaching of the word, through sharing of the gifts that you have given to us and sharing back. Lord, we pray that you will help us to take this message, apply it to our hearts and our lives. God, help us to be so close to you that when you speak to us, we'll hear. And then, Father, help us to act on what we hear. Help us to share Jesus with those in this community. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.